in the context of the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary in the desert, which later translates itself into the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, is the problem of sacrifices. The question, and the problem really for us to understand, what is the meaning of killing animals in sacrifice? Not an easy area at all. So let's see if we can begin to get a bit of a more Jewish handle maybe on this subject. And I think the way to do it is to expand the discussion into the question of eating altogether and vegetarianism from a Jewish point of view, eating meat, what that means, the killing of animals, what animals mean, a spiritual level. A big discussion here. Interesting subject. Not sure we can cover all of it by any means, but let's begin at least to, let's try to start working it out maybe. If we manage to do this well, we'll be able to have at least a beginning, just a beginning perhaps, of insight into this difficult area of animal sacrifice, what we call korbanos, derived from the root meaning to bring close, or to come close. But I hope we'll get an understanding of a lot more besides in the area of food, eating, and many related issues. Each element here, of course, needs, each element needs deep discussion. I mean, just the very status of animals themselves. Maybe we could start with that. Animals themselves. There's a fundamental question, really, is why are there animals in the world? Why does the world have animals? Again, why does the world have animals? Why does it have plants, for that matter? But why does it have animals? You think the world has animals because a few million years ago, when you yourself were an orangutan, you know, bumping into each other in the trees, you know, and then that's how you came to be who you are. Right? So of course there have to be animals, otherwise you wouldn't be here, because you're a developed orangutan, or an elevated chimpanzee, or a degraded chimpanzee. I don't know exactly what your level is, but the point is that if you think that way, then in fact you are a monkey, because that's not the Jewish view. We did not arise. Actually, the truth is we did arise in the animal world. The Midrash says that the human being, the human body, is a composite of all of the world. Right? So there's no question we are derived from the animal world. But it's got nothing to do with evolution in that sense. But again, why are there animals in the world? Our deepest sources say that before the sin, before Adam sinned, animals were on a level that we are on now. Before the sin, animals were on a level that we are now. You could have an intelligent relationship with an animal. Adam, of course, was much higher. He was much higher, way beyond any ability we have to conceive. But animals then were on a level that humans are now. In fact, one interesting source is that not only were they on a higher level, but humans were able to relate to them in a completely different way. We know that Adam married all the animals. Right? Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? No? When it says that he was given Eve to marry as a woman, and he had he engaged in that intimacy of bonding into oneness with her, right, when she was brought to him in marriage, the Torah says, "Zois hapam etzem atzamai ubasom ipsoi." This time it is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So the obvious question in the verse is, what do you mean this time? Well, what other marriage, which other women did he know before? And of course the Midrash explains, "Zois hapam" means in this marriage, I feel that this partner is of me, of my flesh. But there were others before, and they were with animals. Before he was given a mate, and he saw the animals consorting in pairs, so he understood that there was a completion of his own existence that was needed, and in order to fulfill that, he attempted an intimacy, a bond with each animal, the female of each species, and discovered that none of them were a completion of his own being. And then Hashem gave him a woman who was a female of his own being, and then in that union he felt that he understood that this was a reclaiming of the oneness that he had experienced before he was brought to the world as half of a being. If you ask why it was necessary to engage the animals in that relationship before being brought his wife, the answer is because it's a long and and deep subject, but briefly, is that you can only relate to something in the world when you failed before. You can only build where you can only experience a togetherness when you've been lonely before. Yeah, you can only build a oneness in marriage when you appreciate what it means to be separate. It's only because man and woman were one being in the spiritual world and torn apart to exist as each a half that has lost its other half, right? That the togetherness of marriage can be appreciated. And therefore, he had to go through what is not the right connection in order to understand what is. That's a deep subject. But the point is that animals were then on a level where... And of course, it's for that reason that animals were not allowed to be eaten. There was no eating of animals, right? The human beings were completely vegetarian. They were only allowed to eat plant material. Even after the sin, even after the expulsion from the garden, humans were only allowed to eat non-animals. Yeah, you couldn't eat an animal. Killing an animal remains a very serious thing. Very serious. Killing an animal, the Torah says, Kidam Shofar, it's called spilling blood. To kill an animal for no reason, and even to eat an animal, if it's not done properly, is very serious business. It's not at all simple. The Gemara says only a wise person should eat meat. Not a simple thing at all. But, of course, before the flood, humans were not allowed to eat meat at all. It was considered killing. Only after the flood, as a descent into that post-flood generation, when the world had already been perverted, and animals themselves had been perverted, and humans and animals had been destroyed in the flood. So then after the flood, humans were allowed, there was a concession made to a lower level of human being who is now allowed to eat meat, which still needs tremendous explanation, because humans sinned and the world became perverted. How is therefore the correction or the consequence that we now kill and eat animals? That needs tremendous explanation. Let's begin, if we can begin this evening at least trying to understand what this means. Why animals are the level that they are, why they cannot speak, whereas humans can, why animals have a vestige of human awareness. Yeah, animals have a vestige of human awareness. On the contrary, the Gemara says that prophecy now in the post-prophetic era lives only in children, insane people, and dogs. Maral says not only dogs, animals. Animals have they can be sensitive to certain things, certain wavelengths, they can be sensitive to certain things that we don't see. It could be. But dogs chosen in particular, because dogs have got some unique characteristics. Which again, it's not directly our subject. What's unique about a dog is that a dog thinks he's a person. That's what's unique about a dog. Dogs, give them the opportunity, they think they genuinely believe that they're your personal friend. Right? The only lower consciousness than that is human beings who think dogs are genuinely their friends. But it doesn't matter. The point is that the Gemara says dogs have an unusual degree of chutzpah. It's a unique thing. Like each creature is a unique creature. A donkey is a unique creature. Donkey's most... Chamor in Hebrew is the same word as chomer, which means material. The donkey is the animal that's most identified with. That's, of course, why it says that Avram Avinu rode a donkey. And what does it mean that a tzaddik rides a white donkey? That the Mashiach will come on a white donkey? What does that mean? What does it mean? Yeah, he doesn't want to buy a ticket on a thing. What does it mean? The concept is that riding on a white donkey means conquering the purified dimension of matter. That's what it means. The tzaddik, the Mashiach, riding on a donkey means conquest of the material world. That's what a chamor is. It's chomer. Donkey is all material. It's all the earthiness of the material world. Tzaddik conquers that. He rides that. Right? And an evil person, for example, Bilam. So Bilam was intimately married to his donkey, right? You notice the Torah uses a female word there for donkey, for tzaddikim, like Avraham Avinu talks about it. A male donkey, but when it comes to him, he was intimately associated with his donkey. What it means is, of course, apart from the fallen level of, from the impurity of that, apart from that, that's the low, but the deep meaning is not being able to separate himself. That means he's so invested in the material world, right, that it's an intimate part of his own being. He's not riding it as a vehicle in total conquest. Yeah, he's married to it. That's what it means. He has a relationship with his donkey. His donkey speaks to him. Yeah, his donkey. His donkey, his wife. But that is the... So each animal has its own uniqueness. But the animal world in general... Now after the flood, that we're not allowed to eat animals and they fall into that level, Nevertheless, they still have some unique characteristics, and one that comes to mind, again, this is not directly connected with the question of eating, but just to mention, is that animals have, you know, there's a wonderful brisa called Perek Shira. Are you familiar with this? Perek Shira, yes? No? Lively crowd, huh? Perek Shira is an ancient source that goes through, it means the section of song. It goes through the song that every animal, actually every part of the creation sings. There's some wonderful commentaries on this, actually, and even one or two books in English, if you're Hebrew is not good, which gives you the verse from the Torah that each part of the creation sings. That song means, what does it mean that an animal sings? Each bird, each animal, each part of the world, a serpent, and each part of the world, dogs, they each sing something. They each sing an aspect of Torah. What does that mean? A song always means the sign of the completion of a task or a cycle. That means that each animal in the world, each part of the world, is manifesting its perfection. That means it does, of course, every animal does exactly what it's supposed to do. Right? That's obvious. The whole universe always does exactly what it's supposed to do. There's only one thing in the universe that doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and that's you. You and me. Me sometimes. But the point is that the only creature that does not do what it's supposed to do is the human being. Every cockroach and every cat and every planet and every galaxy is always doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And therefore it sings its song. That's what it means.